In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, if you could keep young Dylan in your prayers. You know Dylan Bassler. Today, he's going to be received into the National Honor Society. He'll be there. So next time you see him, give him a pat on the back, a heart arm squeeze, a congratulations, whatever it is that you give to show that we've got a good one there. Give it to him. Now today in the readings, we have something that maybe will throw you off a little bit. We have from the book of Apocalypse, the Apocalypses. And there in the book of the Apocalypse, the Protestants call it the book of Revelation. It's the last book of the Bible. It's where John is given a vision of the apocalypse as to what is going to go on, what goes on in heaven, and also what the end of time is going to look like, all hidden in these beautiful mysteries that are very difficult to understand what is going on here. And so I'm not going to quiz you and ask you to explain it for me. I'll do it for you instead. It takes a lot of understanding. I don't say that I fully understand everything that's going on in the book of Revelation. It is a great mystery what is going on here. There's lots of modes of interpreting everything that is here. But you heard over the course of this that it spoke about an angel. So St. John, this is from the very beginning. Al inicio is what it said, reading from the very beginning of the book of the Apocalypse. He begins by speaking here in the second chapter, in the second half of our reading, about what the Lord told him to say to the angel of the church of Ephesus. Write this. Do you know who the angel of the church of Ephesus is? Any guesses? It's not somebody with wings. And he's not even talking to an intellectual being that you and I would normally talk about as an angel, meaning like our guardian angels, which each of us has. He's not talking about that kind of angel. He's talking about the angel of the church of Ephesus, who is the bishop of Ephesus. Next time you see our archbishop, tell him that he's an angel. See what that elicits on him. He's going to come here to give confirmation in May, I believe. We have the date that's set already for him to be here. So you'll greet him that way and tell him that Father Burnaby mentioned that. He'll get mad at me, but that's all right. That's all right. Call him that. That's what the scriptures talk about. He is the angel of the church of Ephesus. And why is he referred to as the angel? It's because what he does is he is the one who brings the messages, brings the prayers of us to God. And he also is the angel, meaning the messenger of God, what God speaks to you and I, or he's supposed to be if he's doing his job correctly. Now, as you can see right here, the angel of the church of Ephesus, what John is writing here, isn't entirely laudatory, isn't entirely praiseworthy, is it? It's coming down hard on him. He's saying, look, he says, I know your works, I know your labor, I know your endurance, and that you can't tolerate the wicked. That's a good thing, right? He says, you have tested those who call themselves apostles but are none, and have discovered that they are imposters. So what he's saying there is, you're kicking out the bad guys. You're keeping the faith pure. And you suffered a lot for my name. And you've not grown weary in suffering for me. So it means you've not given up. You're still going forward. So this is all good, right? Well, then what comes next? He says here, yet I hold this one thing against you. And what's that? That you have lost the love that you had at first. You've lost the love that you have lost first. He says, realize how far you have fallen. Who is the angel of the church of Ephesus? We know who he is. This is St. Timothy. St. Timothy, who St. Paul writes to in there. St. Paul made him the bishop of Ephesus. He made him the bishop of Ephesus. He's a young man. There's an entire book. You can read it. It's very short. I mentioned to it to you, I believe, some time ago, just to spend a commercial break reading it. It's so short what he writes to him right there. And he's saying, you've not done well. What do we know about the church of Ephesus? St. Titus was given this charge to go and be strong in this place, to be strong for Christ there, to proclaim that which is good, proclaim that which is true that's going on right here. And he doesn't do it. He goes out and he's strong. But remember the church of Ephesus, they had a lot of struggles there. And so he was giving into a bit of worldly prudence. He was giving into a bit of worldly considerations where they had a particular in Ephesus. If you go there, that's in modern day Turkey, you go to Ephesus and you'll find there that there's the temple of Diana. Temple of Diana, which is this Greek god which was there, and because of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what did people do? They started rioting. They started causing problems because they didn't like what these Christians were saying. It caused such an uproar in there, there was great violence that happened. And so what happened with St. Titus? He backed off. He stepped away. He said, if we proclaim the truth too loudly, it's going to cause problems. I don't want problems. What if some of my people get hurt? What if these things happen if I proclaim the gospel? So I'll back off on proclaiming the gospel and kind of do it in secret, kind of just keep it into homes, keep it on the DL, on the down low, and not speak about it so boldly. He had been bishop at this time of the writing of this for how long? For 5 years? No? 10 years? As long as Mike has been alive? 21 and a half years? Twice that. He'd been bishop for 40 years. 40 years of that place. And he'd lost the fervor with which he began preaching the gospel. He backed off because of human respect. And so God is sending St. John here to write this letter to him. Even we have recorded here in Holy Scripture saying, you left your first love. Realize how far you've fallen. Now you started off so strong proclaiming the gospel for me, but then you backed off over time because of human respect. Come to your senses and see how far you've left off. Something that can be taken for you and I as well. Think about moments in your life where you yourself had like a fire lit within your belly, had just this strong burning that was going on within your soul, something where you understood how great God was, and you were, yes, yes, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to give my life for this. I'm going to engage in this. At those times in your life when you had fervor, and you every night you'd pour through the scriptures maybe, or you'd go there and finger your rosary beads with great confidence before the Lord, or you'd make sure that every 12th of the month you'd call everybody around, you'd make the effort of rounding up all your family and friends, those who you knew, so that in honor of Our Lady of Guadalupe you could just pray the rosary together and for a particular purpose, trusting that Our Lady would work something great in you if you were just faithful to her. Well, do you still do that? Or has something trickled off? Has something fallen in a way? So our Lord is writing this. Our Lord is giving us this passage of Scripture to remind us the same thing. It's not merely written there to Titus, who had lost his first love after 40 years of being a bishop and backed off because of human respect. He's writing it for you and I as well. Titus got this message. And I don't know how long he had left to live because I didn't write it down. I didn't do that good of research, I guess. And my memory's not keeping me to this moment because I don't have any notes. Just doing it from memory. But he did. He got the message and he went back and finished out the race strong. How do I know that? Even without knowing anything else? Because how do we refer to him? St. Titus. If he didn't end well, we wouldn't call him St. Titus. He would just be regular Titus, who was a disappointment because he didn't finish strong. But he did finish strong. He absolutely did. And so the church in Ephesus continued to go forward. In fact, if you go there, that's where Mary's house is, the Blessed Virgin. She, before she died, left Ephesus and went to Jerusalem so that she could die there where her son died. But that's where her house was. That's where St. John, and that's a reason why St. John, the apostle, was able to, even from his own humanity, be able to give a rebuke to Titus. Because he was living, even as an apostle, under the bishopric of Titus. So we see something here. St. John is writing this saying that come back to you, repent, and work just as you did at the beginning of your life. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove that lampstand that is burning that shows that you are the light there within that place from its place, unless you repent. He gives that charge to us as well. So in this Mass, we recall those moments, great fervor that were going on in your life, and what God had begun changing in you when you went to him with such strength at times before. Well, find that again. Find that again. And even if you see it as, I don't even know how to get there again because that was me long ago and I'm not there yet. Well, he's right here. Ask him for it. Trust yourself to him. And he will bring you to that place so that no matter how long it's been since you've left that which you started with at that moment of great fervor, it just takes a moment of openness to the Lord, and he can incendiate to light that flame again, your heart once again, and you begin to pick up not just where you left off, but even to end all the more brilliantly in the time that you and I have left. Let's pray for one another in this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Amén. El ciego del Evangelio clamó a Jesús, gritó al Señor como un hombre desesperado, como un hombre cuyo anhelo de libertad no podía ser saciado sin una audiencia con el rey, hijo de David. Este es el tipo de súplica que se escucha, que hace gritar las cabezas, que nos hace sobresalir, que nos avergüenzan un poco, pero este grito finalmente logra el efecto, curación y salvación. Si el Señor respondería hoy a tu petición, ¿qué harás con esta respuesta? ¿Qué cambio harías en tu vida? ¿De qué manera el recibir una respuesta positiva de Dios te convertiría convertiría en un católico más fervente. Y recuerde que Santiago nos dice en su carta de la Biblia, él se dice, no tienes porque no pides. No tienes porque pides con motivos equivocados para gastar lo que obtienes en tus propios placeres. Se dice Santiago en la Biblia. San Gertrudis, el Grande, nos enseña con su ejemplo de pedir ayuda a Dios en este pasaje. Presta atención. San Gertrudis reza, dador de dones, concédeme este don, que en adelante ofrezca en el altar de mi corazón un sacrificio de alegría, para que con mi súplica pueda ganar para mí y para todos aquellos a quienes has elegido el privilegio de disfrutar a menudo de esta dulce unión y dulzura unificadora. Me has dotado de una luz más clara de conocimiento de ti, en la que el dulce amor de tu hermosura me atraía siempre más que el duro castigo que merecería. No recuerdo, sin embargo, haber gozado nunca de tal plenitud, sino en los días en que me invitados a probar las delicias de tu mesa real, es decir, en la Eucaristía. Son las palabras de San Gertrudis, Saint Gertrude. Santa Gertrudis y el ciego se acercaron a Jesús con gran anhelo. Ven cómo ella quería utilizar todos los dones para dar más gloria a Dios. Entonces pidamos al Señor que purifique nuestras intenciones en las delicias de su mesa real, la Eucaristía. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.